Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Ever noticed how many travel advertisements there are in the Sunday papers? When you sit there week after week flicking back, every second page is a full page advertisement for travel. Whole supplements on travel. As a country, we travel a lot. It says something about how prosperous we are, I think, and just how fortunate we are as a country to have such ability to travel, and how fortunate we are to have such prosperity. A lot of Christians travel. And I wonder if you've ever thought about what travel is from a Christian perspective. Some Christians like to travel with a purpose. That's certainly what my wife and I like to do. We love absorbing culture and history and going to help. Many of our schools now take kids on mission trips, and that's a kind of very focused travel that especially Christian schools like to, you know, used to turn kids on to the idea of opening their global view to living as citizens of the world or citizens of the kingdom, serving those in the world who are in need. Reverend Stephen Liggins from the Springwood Anglican Church, he loves travel, got the bug very early, but he's actually sat down and thoughtfully written a book called Travelling the World as a Citizen of Heaven.
I did a survey one night at our night church congregation, and I said, you know, who here is thinking of travelling overseas or has recently travelled? And of about 180 people there, I think 170 people raised their hands. And then I said, well, who here has ever read anything about travelling or heard anything spoken of about travelling from a Christian perspective? And about four or five hands went up. And so that sort of, I guess, is one of the reasons why I wrote the book that I did. It's widely practiced, but there's not much help given to people in thinking about it in a Christian way.
Well, we'll talk about the pluses and minuses in a moment, but just to say that I completely agree with you. And my wife and I, we always travel with a purpose. And to be fair, our worst nightmare is sitting on a beach in, you know, your luxury resort somewhere.
Sounds horrible.
No, well, there's just no point to it.
Yeah.
After about half an hour, I get bored. Like, I know that this is not everyone's experience.
Yeah.
But when we travel, we love to meet people. We want to get inside their hearts, get inside their culture. We want to find out more. We want to bring back the souvenirs of relationship. And we actually find that when we travel with a purpose, which we've done for mission organizations and on study trips to the Middle East, for example, we come back as enriched people, and it does enrich our Christian life. So I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Stephen, in spirit.
I love meeting people from different countries, from different cultures. I find it really interesting. And I find when I travel and when people I speak to travel, usually the best things I experience have to do with people I've met and situations they've shared with others when they've been away. And I have extremely fond memories of people I've met overseas, a number of whom I'm still in contact with even 30 years later.
And so many schools are now doing mission trips, short-term mission experience trips to take kids overseas, and that opens their eyes. One of my children went on one of those, and now he's a foreign correspondent. You know,
so there we go.
And I'm sure he will be for a very long time to come. But Stephen, in a sense, then that sort of gets to the heart of one of the questions about the Christian perspective and travel. You come back with a sense that most of the world is not like Australia,
and then how does it affect you?
Yeah, what do you do with it?
Yeah, so one of the things I've tried to do over the years when I've come back from certain countries where I've spent a bit of time, I've tried to find out about Christian organisations who are working there, and I, in my own way, you know, prayerfully and financially try and do what I can to help those countries.
Yes, indeed. Our guest is Stephen Liggins, and he's the author of Travelling the World as Citizens of Heaven. He's an Anglican minister, PhD in New Testament theology, and the first book that I've ever seen on a Christian perspective on travel. Stephen, you talked about the good and the bad of travel, so talk about the good of travel.
A number of things. When you go travelling, like the rest of your life as a Christian, you go travelling with God. And I've found personally that when I've been overseas, out of my comfort zone, away from normal life, I realise my dependence on God even more than when I'm at home. And I found that very helpful for my Christian life. But also just seeing God's world, you know, it's God's world, and appreciating that the things we see there were made and created by God, that gives us a really good perspective on God's creative powers and power.
Yes.
I've sat in front of Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe many years ago. Double rainbows in the spray, incredibly impressive. And you think, you know, It took my breath away.
Good one, God.
Yes, nice one replied. And then also meeting people is a great thing to do. You can meet believers who you can encourage. Often you run into non-believers who are open to talking about spiritual things. One thing I found about travelling, particularly when people are holidaying or backpacking or away from home, is that often people are a bit more open to talking about spiritual things in a relaxed way. They're home, it's a bit more tense, there's a bit more pressure. And so I've had some wonderful conversations with people who are not believers, but who are open to talking about spirituality and God and Jesus, and that's a real plus too.
Yes, there's something about being out of our own environment that means we drop the guards that we put up so that the people we bump into every day aren't seeing all of us. We carry around these safety barriers.
Mm.
You drop your barriers when you're away because you think, oh, what's the chance I'm never going to meet this person again?
That's
and you
right.
open up to the stranger. That's one of the curious things about the human nature. You open up to the stranger, don't you?
Yes, I was talking to a young lady from my church a while back who went backpacking, and she says that lots of people talk about God when they're backpacking overseas.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Because you're out in his creation.
Yeah.
And then you've got time, and then the time plays on your mind, and what else are you going to think about but those things that you push to the back.
Yes, some of the bigger questions in life come to the fore.
Indeed. Well, these are some of the pluses of travelling. You talked about a downside of travelling for Christians as well.
Yeah, look, my experiences of travel have been almost overwhelmingly positive, but I know of people who've apparently been Christians. They've gone away travelling and they've come back apparently non-Christians or shattered. Or badly affected in different ways.
Because of the travel experience or something that happened on the way?
Because of things which have happened. So sometimes people go away and away from their normal support structures and routines, they can start doing things which they would never do at home. They might muck around with alcohol or drugs or inappropriate relationships because no one's there to keep an eye on them or support them, as the case may be.
Right.
Often when people encounter extreme poverty or suffering overseas, it can force them to do some thinking and address issues which they haven't thought of before or haven't perhaps prepared themselves for. And that can be quite disturbing for people as well. And also just getting away from the normal routine of life. Someone who is walking closely with God at home can go away. And because they're away, they stop reading their Bible and praying as much for whatever reason. And the whole time overseas can be spent distant from God. I talked to another young lady who I have the utmost respect for, a fine Christian girl, went overseas for, let's say, about a month to an overseas country. When she got back, I was talking to her about her trip, sounded really good, and I said, oh, you know, how was your relationship with God while you're away? And her head just dropped. And I said, you know, did you get to read your Bible or pray much? And she confessed to me that she hadn't. You know, she planned her trip, but she hadn't planned to, I guess, travel with God.
Yes.
So that's a real shame.
Yes. It begs the question, I suppose, Stephen Liggins, about what else is going on when we travel, because when we travel, we are, in some respects, we're hoping to leave behind stuff that we don't want to deal with every day. There's work, there's just the tyranny and the boredom and the tiredness of everyday sort of things, putting out the rubbish, feeding the cat, all of that stuff. So work, you know, we want whatever we think of work as being. And I think, by the way, just in passing, we need a better theology of what work is as Christians. But so we travel partly to leave some of those things behind. But then, interestingly enough, are we, in your experience, do some people also run away from their relationship with God when they travel? Is that what you're saying?
Well, some people can do that.
Yeah.
Either by accident, and sometimes design, maybe.
Choice they sort of or think, design. Yeah.
Yeah, if people have felt trapped and perhaps their relationship with God is not going well, they might think, oh, I'll go away and do all sorts of things which I wouldn't normally do at home and no one will ever know. Some people may choose to do that. So I think there are very good reasons to travel, you know, rest, recuperation, education, meet people. But I think sometimes there are bad reasons, like just escape, giving you the opportunity to do things you wouldn't do at home, which are not good. Because everyone else is. I don't think that's a particularly good reason to travel. I guess it's helpful to assess one's reasons for travelling.
Somewhere the psalmist says, wherever I go, you're there.
Yes, actually, that is my travel verse.
Is that right?
Yeah, Psalm 139, it says, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. And I find that immensely encouraging when I've been away from home, particularly when I was a lot younger and travelling and I was away from family and friends, just to know that God, wherever you go, your eyes on the wings of the dawn, on the far side of the sea, God is there, his hand is holding you fast, he's everywhere. Very encouraging truth.
And one of the aspects of that for me is, wherever I go, I'll encounter a person and they might be begging on the street. They might be an amputee from a landmine accident somewhere in Asia. They might be a young child, you know, having to work in a rice field and skipping school. God made them.
Mm.
They're in his image. Mm. Wherever I go, there he is. And if I travel with that perspective, wow, then my world is enriched.
And that forces you to do some thinking about what you're doing with your life and your prayers and your time and your money.
Yes.
And you might need to adjust to some things about your lifestyle to properly respond to what you're now aware of.
Yes.
Yeah.
How should Christians go about planning where to go? You open the Sunday newspapers and we go through all the specials. Oh, look, we could go to wherever resort or this thing or that thing. As I said earlier, we're less interested in that than travel with a purpose.
Hmm.
How should Christians go? And I'm not criticising anyone who, by the way, just wants to go away. Please don't get me wrong. There's certainly a time for rest. If that's your thing and you do that, and then great. But how should we go about planning?
Well, if I was planning a trip, I guess I'd probably go through three steps. And this is what I put in the book.
Yes.
The first one would be is, what are my reasons for travelling? Are they good or bad ones? The next one is it a wise use of my time and money? And the third one is, how does it affect key relationships I'm in? So in terms of the first step, you'd think, well, why am I travelling? Good reasons to travel are rest. Rest is good. Recreation is good. It's good to travel to meet up with family and friends and to meet people. That's a good thing. Relationships are important. I think it's good to travel for educational reasons, just to open yourself up to the world and, and see what it's like. Sometimes people travel for study or for work. They're all good. Now, how long one might travel for each of those reasons, I mean, if you're travelling for work or study, you might very well go overseas for a long period of time. If you're travelling for rest and recreation, I suggest probably you wouldn't travel for quite as long. So I guess if you're travelling for study, well, where do you need to study? If you're travelling for rest, what do you find restful? Now, you said you don't find lying on the beach particularly restful, but some people do.
I have to learn.
Yeah.
Rest.
But some people would think, you know what, I'll go for a walk in the Himalayas. That'd be restful.
Ah, no, there's my wife. You see, she would do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So different people like different things.
Definitely.
And so I think if you've got good reasons to travel, that's great. And if you like lying on a beach, there are obvious places to go and such forth. If you like walking, there are other places to go. If you like meeting people and culture, you might go somewhere else. So if you've got good reasons, well then, okay. But then you've got to think, what's a wise use of time and money? And this is a question which really only people can decide for themselves. And so you want to pray through it and think about it and figure out how you use your money and spend the appropriate amount of money and time which you think is right. I have one friend who suggested to me that probably you shouldn't spend more on your holidays than you give to the church. Now, that's not a rule in the Bible, but that's just his perspective on it.
Yes.
So I thought, oh, that's interesting, you know. And then finally, if you think it's a good use of time and money, you want to think about, I guess, key relationships, you know. So, for example, before I was married, I would go to Africa to do some lecturing over there, and I'd usually put a holiday on the end of it while I was over there, perhaps for 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm.
Now that I'm married, if I go over there to lecture, I'm not going to spend 2 or 3 weeks on holiday by myself in the family at home. I might spend a couple of days at the end seeing something or other because I want to get back and see my family.
Mm.
So these are the sorts of things I think you would weigh up in terms of where to go and how long to go for and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Our guest is Stephen Liggins, the author of Travelling the World as Citizens of Heaven. There's some helpful pages here on health and sickness, but there's one travel bug they say you can't get over, and that is the desire to go away again immediately you get back.
Yes, when I first travelled when I was 20 years old, almost by accident, I went to England for half a year to play cricket. I was trying to become a professional cricketer when I was young. And while I was away, it suddenly dawned on me that I could do a bit of poking around while I was away between games, which I did and loved it. And so 3 years later, when I'd finished studying at university, I took the opportunity to travel again.
Mm.
And I've really looked for opportunities since then to add travel onto the end of work or to take, you know, interesting holidays when I could. Mm. Yeah, it's something which can be quite, you know, compelling, and one wants to do again and again. But once again, that gets back to then, well, is it a good use of your time and money? So that's where wisdom comes in.
Stephen, thank you for joining us here on Open House tonight. Where do we get hold of your book?
You can get hold of it through Matthias Media, their website, or from Koorong, either their website or their bookstores.
Stephen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Stephen Liggins, Dr. Stephen Liggins. He is the Anglican minister at Springwood in the Blue Mountains, those of you who know Sydney. Beautiful place. And Stephen's book is available those places. We put the links to that on our Facebook page at Open House Community.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.